today on Real Radio.
Listen to this. The greater the taxation upon a culture, the greater the poverty. The greater the poverty, the lower the standard of living. The lower standard of living, the greater dependence upon the government. The greater dependence upon the government, the less dependence upon God. The less dependence upon God, the closer you are to hell.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. Pastor Jack continues a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview on Poverty by reminding us that poverty nearly always stems from greedy political agendas. Self-inflicted poverty, however, is also a sin that stems from laziness, seeking handouts instead of employment. Pastor Jack goes on by defining the difference between poverty and the poor. Every culture has some level of poor, but God tests the hearts of those who have much by how they respond to opportunities on any level to help the poor no longer be poor. Thanks for listening today as Pastor Jack continues to encourage us to extend our Christianity outside the walls of the church, true evangelism, and helping those in need. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The church is continually, and the Christian is continually being marginalized and put into the corner. And if somebody were to stand up and say, I'm a believer in the Bible, and I'm going to run for dog catcher of this community, and I am going to lead a campaign of integrity, and I'm going to ask the whole community to look at every penny and to watch how it's all spent. And the moment somebody stands up, and if they're somehow linked to God or linked to the Bible, that guy is going to get shot, because there's a system at work. And that system is big bucks, power and control. And poverty is one of the great keys. If you and I tonight, will we all agree on this? If you and I tonight could snap our finger, would we not abolish poverty tonight? We would. So why isn't it evaporating? Why isn't it going away? There are some people, honestly, who just are bent on not doing anything and demand that I'm going to sit here, you go to work, and you pay me to breathe. That is called entitlement. The Bible calls that a sluggard. The Bible is very, very big on this. The Bible says regarding a person who's able-bodied, an able-bodied man, the Bible says if you do not work, if you're not busy with your hands at work, the Bible says that you shall not eat. I can't believe that. Oh, my goodness. If you're able-bodied and able-brained, you should be working, the Bible says. When's the last time you heard that in the public square? You know it's the fix. You know it's true. But political correctness has smacked you down so that you would not dare say such a thing. Because you know what? Somebody might wake up today not feeling like they want to go to work. The Bible says in Matthew 26:11, Jesus says, for the poor you have with you always. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say poverty. He said poor. You say, Jack, come on, man. What's the difference? Poverty is a mindset which manipulates to get. A person who's poor, by the way, a culture, its living standards defines what's poor. Okay, for example, if you're poor in Uganda, you and I tonight, the poorest person listening right now, or the poorest person who's here right now, you have no idea what depth of poverty that would be in Uganda. Poor people in America have cell phones. You hear what I'm saying? Poor people in America do not have to even go hungry. Here's the amazing thing about poor people in America. And we all judge or determine what poor means. It's funny. You guys, I live really close to Volano. You know what Volano is? I said, I live close to Volano. The moment you drive through that gate, you're in another world. But there are people in Volano who, in the world they traffic in, they're poor in their estimation. You and I go, what? But then listen, I live in a house that costs $99,000, but I live like a king compared to somebody in the Sudan. The amazing thing is, God has allowed and has put within the human spirit the ability that if given the opportunity, we don't need to stay poor as we define poor. You say, well, what if I only have one donkey? It's possible that God has blessed in such a way that if you work hard, you could have three donkeys. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is a very important thing. Because Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. It doesn't mean, listen, he didn't say a person who is poor will always be poor. You see the difference? Poverty is perpetrated against people for manipulative reasons. It is true. In every culture, there's going to be poor people. In every church, there will be those who are suffering some level of being poor. How do I know? Because God uses those who are hurting to test the hearts of those who have. If you and I know someone who is hurting, especially the Bible says that they are confirmed brothers and sisters of the household of faith. Because, you know, there's people, honestly, you guys, this is a big church, which makes it a big target. There are people who pull up here on a regular basis. They just drive from church to church to church all across America, never working, just getting handouts. And when you've been doing this for a while, you can pick them out. You can see this. You know what's amazing? What's amazing is sometimes when you see somebody pull up who's got a for sale sign on their Mercedes-Benz, and they're saying, we need food. You say, are you kidding me? No, we can't unload this Mercedes. I lost my job. We lost the house. We're living in the car. Nobody wants to buy this piece of junk now. It's become an anchor to us. We're losing everything. We've lost everything. You know what's interesting about that? In many cases, I believe that person than the other one that just goes from place to place who says, because churches have a network of communication. Heads up. There's a person coming this way. They've been coming. They've been doing this. They've been doing that. Scammers who choose to live in a certain state or situation. Being poor is not what I'm talking about in that context. Jesus said, the poor we will have with us always. Poverty is a different thing. And many young people today are being manipulated on the college campus or in the voting box regarding this issue of poverty. Deuteronomy 30, verse 9 says, the Lord your God will make you to abound in all your work of your hands, in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. That's an awesome verse. Grab that verse. While it's so quiet in here, let me give you this one also. This is a shockaroony. Especially if you know American history. Listen to this. The greater the taxation upon a culture, the greater the poverty. The greater the poverty, the lower the standard of living. The lower standard of living, the greater dependence upon the government. The greater dependence upon the government, the less dependence upon God. The less dependence upon God, the closer you are to hell. Because you raise a generation of people who do not cry out to God, but cry out to, we want a king to rule over us, like Israel cried out to, and it will cost you. Churches across America, I forget what the number is, but the bank foreclosure rates on churches reached an all-time high in 2010 in American history. Churches unable to pay their mortgage. Church staffs are decreasing. Church attendance decreasing. Church income decreasing. Watch. Taxation. Is it decreasing or increasing? As believers, we are being put into a place of really putting our faith where our mouth is. Because here's what we're being faced with. All of us, the increase of government taxation will always rival a Christian's ability to worship and tithing. You and I, because of taxation, we will tithe more to the lower G God government than we will tithe to the big G God if we continue on the path that we're going. And it does nothing but create poverty among the masses. And when people are in a state of poverty, you can control them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's happening. Okay, now listen, number three, our biblical worldview and poverty. What does God say about the poor? Now, this is beautiful. This is exciting stuff. All the nasty stuff's over now. This is the stuff that is precious to me, precious to us. What does God say about the poor? He cares for them. Did you know that? And so should we. Proverbs 22:9 says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed by God, for he gives of his bread to the poor." That's the heart of a Christian, even though that's an Old Testament verse. Look at that verse. Proverbs 22:9, "He who has a generous eye." Don't you love that? The word implies in the Hebrew that this person whose life's been touched by God is looking upon others and has compassion, sympathy. You know something about that. Didn't Jesus look upon the masses with compassion and was moved to do something about it? This is the verse from the Old Testament. This is its equivalent. To look around and see people who are in need. And a person who's been touched by God is a... Because God's been generous to them, they can be generous to others because they know what it's like. If we cannot be generous, we have no right to call ourselves Christians. And listen, if we sign up for this latest Vogue movement of poverty is spirituality, then how in the world are we going to help feed the homeless and put a roof over their head? And how are we going to get the gospel to the end of the earth? And how are we going to make a difference and put clothing on people and care for people if we are all in a state of poverty? I cannot help the poor if I don't have anything to give. Do you understand? As a Christian, we better get this in our minds right here, right now. I can tell you right now, for 20 years, this is the motto that this church has functioned by behind closed doors. This is the secret. God showed me this, and I'll never forget it. Never, Jack, never, yourself or the men that you surround yourself with, ever look at money as money, ever. Look at every penny and every dollar, not as money, but as a tool. And if you keep the tools working, you'll be fine. Because the moment you pursue in life, I've got to have more money, you are off the path and you are in a form of pagan mammon worship. Do you understand? I've got to get more money. You will never have enough. But if you decide tonight, I will be a steward of what God puts into my hand, to the glory of God. And in my life, in my biblical worldview, it will never be dollars, it will be tools. Now my thinking stays straight. You don't go, ooh, oh, look how much. You know what you do? What kind of plowing can we do with that? What kind of building can we do with that? I'm not talking about a structure. What kind of reaching can we do with that? What kind of help can we bring with that? If we lose sight of that, then we go the way of statistics. And we must never do that. We can never do that. God blesses the poor. He loves the poor. In Proverbs 19:17, the Bible says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay back what he has given." Think of that. If someone in our lives need something, in light of that scripture, we should follow each other to try to get that thing fulfilled in that person's life. And let me say this. This is going to hurt. Are you ready? This issue about meeting the need and comforting the poor, it's not just for the church to do. Meaning, you'd be surprised what we hear. Hey, my neighbor, hey, pastor, hi. Hey, my neighbor lost his job. He's really hurting. Can you do something about that? Are you kidding me? The Bible says he's your neighbor. You're supposed to do something about that. Because if I'm going to go do something about it, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock on that guy's door. Say, hey, listen, here's $100 worth of food coupons for Walmart supermarket thing here. And you see three houses over? That's a Christian bum. Okay, that guy should have been helping you. You don't pass it off on, oh, you know what? Boy, my neighbor's in trouble. I better call the Salvation Army. They're in your scope of view by the ordination of God. You're supposed to help them. Corporately as a church, we help. Corporately, we already together, it's been since the creation of this church, we help people every month of the household of faith, every month. But don't think for a moment that as a Christian, well, you know, my church should take care of that. And it's your next door neighbor? So be careful. I told you that was going to sting. I can feel the sting from here. The Bible tells us, regarding the poor, they should never do without. Did you know that? Remember Ruth? Remember Ruth in the book of Ruth? Do you remember what God said in his law to the Jewish nation? It's awesome. God says to all the Israeli farmers, when you harvest, go through your fields, whatever is left over, what you don't get, what your sickle doesn't cut down, and by the way, leave the borders, the hem of your property uncut, but only go through it once, and I'll provide for you. All that's left are for those who are in need. And they come along. Remember, that's how Ruth came along, and she went into Boaz's field, and it was kind of cute, because Boaz is like saying, man, she's cute. He's dropping seed over here. Right? Remember, that's a great story. Girls, all you girls, read the book of Ruth. And guys, if you're smart, you'll read the book of Ruth. God defends the poor, and he expects us to also. In Proverbs 17:5, he who mocks the poor reproaches the Creator. Proverbs 28:27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Wow. God loves the poor. And I want to say this. The poor that you and I might know, it's incumbent upon us that their state of being poor is transitory. You know what I mean by transitory? It's limited. They're passing through that state, that condition, because we will help. Those who in this church, for example, I'm only speaking for this church. I can only speak for this church. But some of you who have, or some of you have jobs, you've got connections, maybe you don't know, or maybe you don't have anything, but you know somebody who has a thing and they're connected with this group. Listen, all the time there's people that you and I will spend forever in heaven together in this church who they're needing or they're in need of something. And there's an amazing ability for us to connect if we would just fellowship and talk with one another. That's the church alive. And that person's poor situation is transitory. They don't have to stay there. It's very important. Where do I begin? Where do we begin to help the poor? 1 John 3:17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Begin where we're at. Galatians 6 verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Did you guys see in the news this week about that, what's his name, Patrick Green, the Texas atheist who was suing the Christians in the community at Christmas time for the nativity scene they had set up? Did you see it in the news? The church set up a nativity. He's an atheist, belongs to the atheist people of the world, and gets all bent out of shape, and he's suing them. He's suing the Christians because of the nativity scene. And he was diagnosed with some very rare eye disorder, and he's going to go blind. And when news got out that he's been stricken with this illness, the very Christians he's suing came to his home, drove him to his doctor appointments, mowed his lawn, brought him food, and the guy converted to Christianity. And that is awesome. But that, you know what? That should be normal. That's normal Christianity. That's exciting. We begin to help the poor immediately. Listen, my friend, immediately. Look, you know the money that we have in our pocket. We have $5, and there's somebody who's poor. There's somebody standing. Remember, we've talked about this in the past. There's somebody standing along the road. You know that thing. You know that thing that goes on inside of you? Is that guy? That guy probably makes $1 million a year doing that. It's true. A lot of people do that stuff, but not everybody. But here's the funny thing. You get in a big debate with yourself. Man, that guy probably makes $1 million a year, you say to yourself, so you feel better when you drive by. But what if the person's in need? How are you going to know? The answer is you're not going to know. And what are you crying about? $5. Cough up the $5. Give it to the guy. You say, what if he's a crook? Give it to the guy. God knows if he's a crook. Look, God will deal with him. He'll choke on his happy meal or whatever it is. That's God's business. That's God's business. But listen, God will bless you for reaching out. God sees your heart. It's true. As opportunity arises, do good. Last final thing, here we go. We have to end with this. How do we help the poor to be poor no more? I think that's such a great church thing. The greatest way to help the poor and those that are hurting is for us, all of us, to get involved. Oh, this is a great verse. We'll wrap it up with this. Solomon. Solomon. Rich guy, poor guy. Rich. Sick rich. Crazy rich. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. This is what the wisest guy in the world figured out. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I become full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I become poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Did you know that's the definition of middle class right there? Did you know that? God wants to give you enough that you are a blessing to others. God doesn't want you in a state of poverty so that you're tempted to steal and defame his own name. And Solomon says, Lord, give me balance and wisdom.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Our Biblical Worldview and Poverty, a study on the Christian's approach to poverty and the poor. Today's lesson was just one in a series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues through a biblical lens. Thanks for listening today. It's our desire that the more you understand biblical worldviews, the deeper your understanding of God's will and purpose for your life. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, one of the more, shall we say, awkward moments when sharing our faith is simply getting that conversation started. Just breaking the ice. Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, here's one way. Tell a friend about Real Radio and Real Life with Jack Hibbs. If you've got the Real Life smartphone app, maybe you can show that to your friend. And if you don't have it yet, don't forget, it is a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. If your friend is already a believer, direct them to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.